You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 70, and today we're looking at the question, how can I know God's will for my life? And Jamie, this is a question that for me, I hear a lot as a pastor, but as a friend of people, this is a question that I feel like a lot of younger people especially will ask as they're trying to figure out their career, whom they're going to marry, what path they're going to take in life. They want to figure out, okay, God, just tell me. And a lot of times we understand that it would be great if God could just kind of write another chapter to Revelation specifically for us, saying, hey, this is what I have in your future. This is what the decisions I want you to make. That would be great. However, it doesn't work that way. And it's interesting looking at scripture and seeing how people determined what God's will for them was. It was often very different in the Old Testament than it was in the New Testament. What we see is, especially in the times of the nation of Israel, the priests would cast lots to determine who was to be appointed for a certain office, or how the land was to be divided up, or at times it was a question of should I go into battle or not. And they got basically direct revelation from God, because they got either they heard directly from God, or they got the lots were cast, and that determined directly the decision they were supposed to make. But you see a difference, and I find it interesting that when you get to the New Testament, the last time you even hear in Scripture about somebody casting lots is when they're determining who should take Judas Iscariot's place, who should take that apostolic office among the 12. And they cast lots and determine that it's this guy Matthias. But after that, the very next paragraph, the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, and you never hear another word about casting lots. There's never anything in the epistles about, hey, if you're wondering about which college to choose, make sure you cast lots ahead of time. No, there's nothing about that. But there is a lot about seeking God's will, pursuing God's will, knowing God's will. And so that's what we want to talk about. So, Jamie, when you think about this question, someone asks you, how can I know God's will for my life? Say they're struggling with whether or not to pursue a career in a totally different state, and they're feeling very conflicted. They feel, in one sense, they feel a great desire to want to do that. It seems like a good fit, but they know it's going to cause some disruption to their family life and how they've been used to things. What kind of guiding principles would you give that person? Because this is a common scenario that I come across.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think to some degree, the fact that it's being asked really shows in some senses a right understanding of the nature and character of God, specifically the sovereignty of God and the recognition that God works his perfect will and plan. And that's all good. Yet it arises the question, what is God's will? Because if it's true that God is sovereign, and if it's true that God is working his will, then the choices I make become very important, or so it seems. And so it can be born out of what we'd call very good, healthy theology, but it can also come from unhealthy theology as well. I think specifically, using the example of who should I marry that you referenced before, there's this idea that I would say the majority of the church has about the right one. You've heard that concept. And I think we talked about that in an episode we did on singleness and dating. I can't remember what number it was. We should have looked that up before we started, just to refer people to it. But you can go to our website or go look in the previous podcasts, and you'll find the episode we did on that, where we really talk about this, that that concept is not actually a biblical one. That concept actually comes from Greek mythology and doesn't really represent actually what the Bible has to say. So, but to the greater question, you know, how do we determine God's will for us? We'd say, first of all, one clear boundary is to say that it has to be biblically aligned. I mean, I don't have to ask what is God's will for me if the choice presented before me is an unbiblical one. So if I was offered a job to go kill babies at Planned Parenthood, I don't have to sit and wonder, is that God's will for my life? Because obviously it's not. Or if I was offered a job to be a pimp in a human trafficking ring, again, I don't have to wonder, is that God's will for my life? Because certainly the word of God speaks to the evil sin associated with those things. So obviously the first boundary is to say that God's will is in line with the word of God. So if the option or opportunity is in line with that, then we would consider it to be a good, you know, option or opportunity. If it's a violation of the word of God, then obviously you don't have to ask the question, is this God's will? Because it's absolutely 100% not. God does not work against his own standards, nor does he work against his own word. So we don't have to worry about that. Yet we recognize there are times where God specifically says and calls people to do a specific thing. And so certainly we encourage, you know, obviously you seek the counsel of God for sure, because there are times where God very clearly does call, and he does affirm that call, and he does encourage and continue to encourage that decision. So that does happen, and we see evidence of that in the Bible. Yet we also see evidence of times where God, he works through the opportunities in terms of, you know, I'm thinking, Jason, one of the best examples is the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16, where he is in the middle of the ministry journey and is looking for what, you know, the next moves are. And it says in Acts 16, beginning in verse 6, it says they went through the region of in Galatia, and were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the message in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So bypassing, they came down to Troas. During the night, a vision appeared to Paul. In a Macedonian man, was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen this vision, he immediately made an effort to seek out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to evangelize to them. And here's an example of, you know, the will of God became clear to the apostle by taking steps forward. So they attempted to do one thing and were prevented, and then they attempted to go another way and were prevented, and they end up going, you know, where God intended them to go. But they don't get there just because God said from the start, "Hey, go to Macedonia." It was they took a step and were prevented. They took a step and one thing, you know, we see a lot of in life is God doesn't work the way we think he's going to work. And sometimes God wants us to go the wrong place before we get to the place he's intended, because he has something for us there. I mean, think of, you know, how many times something goes totally wrong in your plan, and yet you end up somewhere where you weren't intending to go or be at all, and you have a gospel opportunity that arises, or, you know, something like that. And yet you know, that was not something that you would have thought or had on your radar or were intending to do. And so sometimes I think it's, you know, God just helps guide us through closing doors. And then other times I think God wants us to go the roundabout way because he has, you know, something that he's doing and accomplishing in that.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that as you touched on, I mean, the big thing is, does my decision in any way violate clearly what's in Scripture? But secondly, pay attention to those passages that talk about what is God's will in Scripture. And, you know, there's positive statements about this is God's will. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 4, it talks about how this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you would be sexually, morally, spiritually pure, that you would pursue the things of God even in your decision. And so if your decision is going to drive you into a course where you're not going to be walking as close with God, even if it's not directly a sinful decision, that question has to come up. Is this going to help me with my walk with God? Am I going to be a better, as a man, are you going to be a better husband, leader, boyfriend, whatever it is, more godly man in this situation? Woman can ask the same question. Am I going to be a more godly woman if I make this decision? And you think about how often we're told to give thanks in every situation. So I think we've got to be making decisions from that perspective of God is absolutely in control. I have everything going for me in terms of is his love for me. And one of the things that I think will often happen, going back to the question of whether or not we should marry someone or say make a tremendous move across the country, we have to be asking, is my hesitancy based more in a concern to follow God's will, or is it possible that this is a fear of commitment that's going on? Because that's actually a really common thing, and that's something to take before the Lord and say, hey, am I just afraid to commit? Is that why I'm so hesitant here? Because if all the pointers say she is the right person for you to marry, or this is the right job to take, and again, you can help, you know, you can get more wisdom about those decisions simply by talking to people who know you well and godly, wise people in your life, go to them and explain the situation, those who know you specifically better and those who know what you're wrestling with. Talk about it with others. You know, Proverbs talks about how in the company of many counselors, there's wisdom. So don't make private decisions unless you have to. That's what I would say. If for example, obviously, as a husband, my wife and I make decisions, big decisions together. Like we would never think to sell a car or to enroll our kids in school or whatever it might be. We wouldn't make those big decisions without talking with each other and praying about it together. You have to make some decisions collectively. And in our individualistic culture, we tend to think, now, hang on, I got to make this decision on my own. I got to stand up for what's right for me. But hang on, because you can sometimes pursue something too quickly or maybe without enough forethought simply because of that feel-good factor. It may feel good in the moment thinking about, you know, what benefits you could have. But, I mean, I can give you a kind of a classic example. A friend of mine who shall remain nameless was bound and determined to go to a particular Christian school, Christian university, I should say. And it was going to happen. Like, he wanted to. It sounded great. There was going to be this sports program. There were high hopes of meeting, you know, the perfect girl, Christian girl. And what happened is, even though there were others who were counseling against it, he went ahead and did it because it was for him. It was the right move in his own mind. But it turns out he didn't make the right decision in the sense that he was then buried with student debt. He actually didn't finish school there, and it ended up just being there was a lot of other things that didn't work out as he was hoping. And there were people who were in his life saying, "Hey, you know, you could go to this other school, you could go to this other university, and it might be a better option for you." But in that moment, he was not listening to advice. He was kind of just throwing that off and going for what seemed right in the moment. And I would say probably when you're concerned about making decisions like that and you're seeking God's will, one of the best things you can do is listen to sound advice from those who know you best, because they're looking out for you. They love you. They care about you. And it may not be the advice you're wanting in the moment, but that's something to consider.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jason, though there is a category. I think I would caveat that slightly, not the seek advice part, but on this other side part, I think often we're too quick to jump out of things as well. And I know this is true of me. You know, I often have this expectation, if God has called me to it, then it's going to go well, or it's going to go reasonably well. And then so you move forward with that decision. And then when it doesn't go well, you're like, oh, well, clearly I made the wrong decision. And, you know, and my fleshly response is, oh, I want to jump out of that quickly and seek out then what was the right decision. You know, this one wasn't the right one. So I need to go back to the other. And I think the same principle applies, where we need to seek the counsel of other people in that as well, because oftentimes there's more than we're seeing, or we're so caught up, I guess you'd say, in the emotion of the moment that we don't necessarily see the realities of this or of what's going on. And I'll give you an example of from my own life in recent history. I made a decision earlier this year that I was talking to one of my mentors about later. And this is a mentor I talk to probably maybe two or three times a week in some form, you know, like via text or something. But we communicate very regularly. And he asked me the question. He goes, "Why didn't you talk to me about this decision?" And I was sitting there thinking about it, and like, it literally had not crossed my mind that, I just didn't even dawn on me that I hadn't even talked about it with anybody. And then I was thinking about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized I really didn't talk to anybody at all about the decision. It was just so clear in my mind that I made it. And ultimately, like, I think the decision was a good one. I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad decision in that case, but I can see absolutely, because of the nature of the decision, how it could easily have been a very bad one because I failed to seek out counsel. So I think it really works on both sides. On one side, you know, we seek counsel to make a decision. And then on the other side, you know, that when you run into challenges in the decision that's been made, seek counsel for that as well, to see like, okay, do I need to just bear this out? Or do, you know, is there something I'm not seeing? I just need to change the way I'm going about this. Or is it really, yeah, you made a bad decision and you need a course correct?
Good question to ask is, you know, are you making this decision, or I should say, if you're a believer in Christ, is there any difference in the way you make your big decisions than those who don't know Christ? And so I guess that's kind of a heart check question, because it's saying, look, we have all these resources as believers in Christ to go to. We've got scripture, we've got the fellowship of believers, godly mentors, people we can turn to, and people who have the Holy Spirit. to encourage us and help prompt us in the right direction. You know, I think of James chapter 4. I'm going to be preaching from this text Sunday, but this is exactly the question that comes up is, you know, am I making this decision as if there is a God who is sovereign and has my best in mind, or am I kind of just making this decision because it feels good in the moment, and I like the prospects or whatever. But you know, and this can be a business decision, it can be a career decision, it can be a relationship decision. All these things we should ask ourselves: am I making this as a follower of Christ who's committed to Him as my Lord, or am I kind of just making this decision because it sounds good to me personally, without seeking the counsel of others? And the other thing that we should bring up, Jamie, just as we're talking about this subject, is when we talk about the will of God, I think most people are talking about God's revealed will, His good and perfect will. You know, we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, and to seek His will in that sense for our lives. But there is a sense in which, and I think we've already alluded to this, there is a sense in which God's, you can call it permissive will or sovereign decree, where He allows negative things to happen in our lives because He has an ultimate good purpose for that. And when you talk about the trials that you run into, like say you made a decision to take a job in another state and things do not go well initially, this is the point you were making, Jamie, you could say, oh, this is a bad decision, or you could realize, you know, what if God is allowing these trials right now in my life because he's conforming me to the character of Christ. He's doing something in me that needed to be done. And it's accepting God's sovereign will in that sense, that He's allowed this to happen. Now, I think most people can kind of distinguish those in their minds, but I think when we kind of just say God's will generally, we can sort of blur the lines and not see that sometimes there's a greater purpose going on that we can't see it in the moment, but what God is doing in the background, where, you know, not right in front of our faces, that's important too. And just recognizing that God is the author of all good things, and in the end, this is going to turn out for good. That's encouraging when even in those times when you do make a bad decision and you're wondering, okay, now what do I do? There's no restart button here. How do I get through this?
So Jason, what advice would we offer in a situation that, you know, some of these questions arise because somebody has been presented with two seemingly equally good options? Meaning, you know, let's say, you know, going back to that job opportunity example. So they've been offered two jobs that really, for all intents and purposes, are equal in value, equally good. There's nothing bad, you know, there. There's nothing unbiblical there. There's no dramatic change one way or another. And in a case like that, you know, very often people then come to you as a pastor and say, what's God's will in this? Or, you know, seek out their mentors for how to deal with a situation like that. Yeah, it's one thing to be like, okay, here's the opportunity presented, and I'm making a decision. Where should I go to college? Okay, now I've been accepted to two equally good Christian colleges, or, you know, or I've been offered two different jobs that are equally good. How do I know which one is God's will for me?
Yeah, great question. And I think, you know, when you're in the moment, it's easy for analysis paralysis to set in, and you begin weighing all the different things that could go right, all the things that could go wrong, got your pros and cons lists going, and everything seems to equal out. Scripture obviously is not violated in either case, things like that. say the thing to remember is that we don't want to make fear-based decisions. So a lot of times when we say, I wish God would reveal his will to me right now, it'd be great if I just have a dream or a vision or something. Sometimes that yearning to hear that from God is actually a desire for more control. And what God wants us to do is to rest in his goodness, his sovereign control, and to submit that to him, to say, you know, I'm going to make this decision not knowing the outcome, not knowing if this is, you know, quote unquote, the best thing to do, because you're trusting him. You're putting all your eggs in his basket. You're not saying I need to know all the details of how this is going to play out. And that's actually an act of faith when you do that. That's walking by faith, not by sight. You can't see the future, and there's a reason for that. The other thing is, it is always be looking for ways to grow closer to God so that these decisions are always about him and his glory. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so if you're weighing this all out and everything looks so equal, the biggest thing is, are you walking closely with the Lord? Because in the end, if that's true, in the end, go with what you want to do, with what you are desiring. If everything else is equal, again, that's the key thing, then don't be afraid to make a decision. And you have to make a decision. You can't be stuck in limbo forever. Sometimes the worst thing possible is to wait too long and be stuck in that no man's land of I can't make a decision. It's better to just make the decision with the direction you want to go. And obviously this is because you're wanting to ultimately glorify God wherever you end up. And so it's not about gratifying your own selfish desires. It's simply God is giving you this opportunity to make a choice. You got to choose. And then to trust him with the results and not be beating yourself up in the course of that.
Yeah, I think that's really good. There were several points in there that are just awesome. The first being the component of faith. If God gave us the roadmap all the time for everything, that would be awesome, but we would not need any faith. I mean, really, you know, if God just gave us, if he spoon-fed us everything, and this is why, you know, I fully believe half the reason that there are areas of what we call gray in the gospel or in the Bible in terms of there are areas of personal conviction where God could have clearly told us everything. I mean, it's not like, you know, he did not forget stuff when he wrote the Bible. And I've heard people say, oh, God forgot to talk about this in the Bible. You know, you hear people say stuff like that and you're like, no, he didn't. God did not forget anything, yet I believe there are areas and places where God intentionally did not talk because he recognizes, you know, our tendency as humans, especially as sin-tainted humans, is to not seek God if we have it all figured out or if we think we have it all figured out. So if God gave us a clear roadmap to everything and we knew exactly what it all we got to do is follow it, which requires no faith. It requires no seeking God. And I think our tendency would be to not do that. And so, so part of the reason, the other part obviously is that, you know, personal convictions are for our individual needs based on our personal, you know, struggles and issues and all that sort of stuff as well. But there's that clear faith component. And I think that's true when it comes to this topic as well. So that was a great point to point that out, that it requires faith. It requires me seeking God. It requires me walking, taking a step in faith. I mean, if both options are equally good, then it's like, okay, I've sought counsel. I've sought the Lord, I've been in his word, I have, you know, and still, I don't know that one way is better than another. And so I take a step of faith and then look for the opportunity to glorify God in it. You know, how do I glorify God in this decision, in this new job, in this new, you know, whatever, and move forward that way. And I think that in and of itself glorifies God, because it requires us to seek him, it requires us to have faith, and it requires us to look for ways to glorify him in the decision that was made. And what happens almost always is we end up seeing, even when we make the decision and it doesn't go well and it's very difficult, like you were saying, later on we look at that and recognize the growth that God brought in us through that, or recognize the work that God did. How many times do we hear these stories of people that just really struggled in difficult job situations, yet glorified God in their attitudes, in their behaviors, in all of these things? And the result was that people came to know Christ, that were colleagues, because they saw somebody live by faith, walk with God, and actually live out those realities by the power of the Spirit in their life. And it's like, man, that's wild, given all the circumstances. And the result was, you know, God's glory. And so I guess we'd say that those two things are not mutually exclusive. God grows us, and God shows his glory at the same time. So it's not an either or. It's my character is being grown as I'm stretched, and also God's glory goes forth. And so it's really, you know, when we're thinking that way, then these opportunities go from being stressful to being exciting, because it's like, well, what is God going to do in what we're doing?
Yeah, and Ephesians 5 just talks about the importance of redeeming the time. And I think that's just something else to keep in mind, you know, not in the carpe diem sense of, you know, live for yourself because you only go around once. It's more of a seize the opportunities that God gives you, and don't fall back to fear or doubt when a decision is hard. You got to, sometimes God purposefully puts us in situations where we have to lean on him to make a decision at all. And we want to make the most of the time. And that involves not getting stuck in that state of indecision and inaction. It means moving forward, not knowing what the results will be.
So to sort of sum it all up, what we're saying in a sense is, when it comes to making decisions, what is God's will for my life? We first recognize or we check and see that our theology is correct. Our understanding of God is correct. We see and look at, does this decision violate the word of God or the commands of the word of God? We seek counsel. We seek the will of God directly through prayer, through the word, through seeking God, and then ultimately make a decision and seek God's glory in that decision. And all of that then changes or takes away the stress of the decision and turns it into just the excitement of, what is God going to do in our lives? Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.